Okay, we're doing a little wee mini-series because in about 2 weeks' time, 3 weeks' time, Advent will start. And of course, we'll shift as we focus on the whole thing of anticipation of the Messiah coming. But we looked at what our core values of the Vineyard are and back in September and into October. And now we're looking at when the church was birthed, when Christ ascended and left his followers with the mandate, I want you to go, there were some pivotal places or pivotal points that he said, basically said, you have to anchor to. Don't ever let these go, ever. Stay there. And we find those in Acts chapter 1, the first 8 verses, those three things. There's three things that he says, anchor to, don't forget it. And when you look through Acts at how and Acts is simply a history book at how what happened in those first number of years, decades, as the church began to expand, as it began to grow, what it encountered, and how it handled things, how it did things. In those first 8 verses, what you read is that first Jesus talked to his followers about the kingdom of God. We don't know exactly what he talked to them about, but we know he talked to them. Luke records that. The second thing you'll read in Acts 1:5 and also verse 8 is that he said, I want you to wait. Don't go, in other words, don't go out on your own thinking you can do this. Wait until I send the Holy Spirit who will empower you. He will empower you. And third, in verse 8, because you will be my witnesses. And when he said you, he wasn't just shrinking that down to the 12 apostles or the 120 that were there. That includes you. You will be my witnesses. Here, in other words, it was like in Cambridge, in Ontario, Canada, and all over the world. That'd be quite the vision, to be given. You know, they didn't have jet travel and all that stuff. It was like, really? We're going to go that far, are we? But those were his three key things. Last week we spoke on the kingdom, and this week we're going to look at the Holy Spirit. If I could get these lights, actually just the spots. Are the spots on or off? Can we get the spot? Can you turn the fronts and the spots off, somebody there? That's one. That works. So sad, isn't it? Okay. This is going to be my slide today. This is it. I want to talk to you a little bit about this. This here is called the Phoenix Galaxy Cluster. It's in the constellation Phoenix. And a galaxy cluster is just what the title says. It's a cluster, not of stars, not of planets, but of galaxies, okay? So these little things here, you know, there. Those are galaxies. Now, they do focus on what stands out about this. This is one of the biggest galaxy clusters going, one of the most massive. But in the center, the central galaxy, from the center of it out to its halo, the outer halo, is 1.1 million light years distance. From the center of that, of just that galaxy, not out to all the galaxies, but just 1.1 million. And they, with their measurements, they guesstimate, which is fairly accurate, that that galaxy, not the cluster, but that one galaxy, is 22 times the size of our galaxy. Okay? If you want to go there, you'd have to travel at 10 trillion kilometers per hour, And if you didn't stop for a pee break or food break, it would take you 5.7 billion years to get there. That's how long it would take. That, we sang a song today, and I know we don't really pay attention to all of the words that we sing. I don't either, because we get so used to it. But we sang, "Holy God, you are holy here, you are holy there, you are everywhere." And that everywhere includes there. Do you understand? The God we worship and sing to and call upon and whose name we invoke is the God who is present there as he is here. So when we say, "Come, Holy Spirit," can you imagine what we're saying? Who we're saying to come? Right? There's a poet, broken man, rough childhood. But he had this innate love and yearning for God. And this goes back into, he was born in 1875. He was a man full of insecurities, full of fears, so desperately wanted to have a close relationship with God, so desperately wanted God to hear him and see him. But he wrote this poem, and I want you to pay attention, because I love how, you know, how our descriptors of God, "You're great, you're big, you're awesome, you're the king," you know, and all that, and they're great, they're good, right? They're good. Although I don't think we should be calling God big, because big puts a size on God, and God is beyond that. He's infinite, right? He's infinite. He's infinite. You can't describe infinite as big. It doesn't make sense, right? Listen to these words. If I had, and look at there, look up at the screen as you hear these words. If I had grown in some generous place, if my hours had opened in ease, I would make you a lavish banquet. My hands wouldn't clutch at you like this, so needy and tight. Then I'd have dared to squander you, you limitless now. I'd have tossed you into the ringing air like a ball that someone leaps for and catches with hands outstretched. I would have painted you not on the wall, but in one broad sweep across heaven. I'd have portrayed you brashly as mountain, as fire, as a wind howling from the desert's fastness. Limitless now. In Acts 1 and 4, Jesus said, "Wait, don't go, because I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, who is going to empower you." Just like it said in Luke quotes what John the Baptist said, you know, "I baptize with water, but there's one coming who will baptize with fire, with the Holy Spirit." And Jesus said, "Wait, wait until the Holy Spirit comes." In verse 8, he said, I'm going to send my Spirit. Then you will be my witnesses." And there's this essence here of this Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus that comes and infiltrates and infills and submerges and saturates the church with. in Luke, and Luke wrote Acts, but in his gospel, Luke records what Jesus said. And this is in Luke chapter 11, verse 13. And Jesus said, "So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Okay. Then a chapter later, chapter 12 in Luke, it says this, Jesus says this, "For it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom." Now I want you to put that in context of what that means. Over the last few years, 3 years maybe, I've fallen into this hobby of baking and cooking, and I like it. Now, I don't know why. I'm puzzled. But it's a good puzzle, right? It's one of those things. That's a good thing. But I get pleasure in baking for April and Autumn, because those are the only two remaining at home, but for the rest of my family as well. That gives me a bit of a rush. I like it. I feel good. I enjoy it. And I enjoy it too. And April or Autumn, they don't have to do anything to get me to bake. In fact, sometimes I probably bake maybe a bit too much because it doesn't go that quickly. And it lingers on the counter for a while, a couple days. But they don't have to do anything. They don't have to plead with me. They don't have to beg me. They don't have to do anything. Because for it to give me pleasure, I get pleasure. And when Jesus says, it gives the Father happiness to give you the kingdom, that if you guys can give good gifts to your kids, my Father so generously will give you the Holy Spirit. What I want you to understand is the generosity and how freely it comes. And how freely the Holy Spirit comes. And yet, if I ask many of you, many throughout the church, how easy is it for the Holy Spirit to come? There would, well, we got to wait. We got a long time. And I wonder about that stuff, you know? I wonder about that. Because as I look at Acts, when the Holy Spirit came, Acts, if you read it honest, give an honest read of Acts, the Holy Spirit is like the canvas that the church gets painted on. The Holy Spirit is everywhere throughout Acts. The Holy Spirit saturates Acts in every place. Now, I know we have our certain verses that we pull out to say, look where the Holy Spirit came upon people. And yes, those are some significant highlights that occurred, such as Pentecost, such as when they came on the disciples of John, the Holy Spirit came on the disciples of John, in different places where the Holy Spirit is seen to be moving in a powerful way. But if you really give an honest read in Acts, the Holy Spirit is all over it. All over it. All over it. And one of the things you need to realize is that Acts is descriptive, not prescriptive. Meaning, when Luke writes down about the Holy Spirit came like a rushing wind, or the Holy Spirit fell on them, or the Holy Spirit came upon them, that's Luke describing what he saw, or maybe asking people, what happened? Well, the Holy Spirit. And they give their descriptive word. It's descriptive, but it is not, when I say it's not prescriptive, it doesn't mean this is the way it has to happen. And the reason I say that, and the reason I stand there and go, no, we can't categorize this is how, these are the six ways the Holy Spirit will come. Because when I look at that, look, our most smartest human beings right now can't figure out the visible of what they see. There's more they don't know than what they know. How can we even come close to saying we can fully explain how the Holy Spirit moves, the one who's invisible? We can't even figure out our visible. The Holy Spirit moves, and what you see in Acts is the Holy Spirit moving powerfully. The only way I can describe how important the Holy Spirit is to the church, as far as I'm concerned, the Holy Spirit is our blood that flows through our veins. And I mean in the church, the life of the church, the Holy Spirit is our oxygen. If we don't have the Holy Spirit, corpse. Nothing. Right? Nothing. Nothing. But God so generously, He gives, He's empowered. That's how He still does His work. Acts is just a continuation of the work of God. The church is just continuing what Jesus started. It's no different. All over the globe, God powerfully moving, powerfully moving. Here's the deal. When we think, we may not verbalize this, but we think it. I think it anyway. So let's talk about me. Generally, when I think of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit coming upon, or the Holy Spirit being present, or we will categorize a church as filled with the Holy Spirit, right? Oh, that definitely, they're filled, right? It's a Spirit-filled church, right? I think of the supernatural. I think of the supernatural. Right? You know what I mean? Spiritual gifts, miracles, speaking in tongues. What happened during the renewal of back 20 years ago, people shaking, different sounds, different things like that. We think of the supernatural. What I do, in fact, is I relegate the Holy Spirit to working in the supernatural. Problem with that. The problem with that is we sang again in that song. And by the way, that song, that's written by our own Chris. Okay? You have good words, man. You do. I'm going to use you as an illustration, Chris. Okay? It's a good one, so it's okay. That's the supernatural coming upon him when he can pen words down. Boom, boom, boom. That's the Holy Spirit coming on. That's evidence of the Holy Spirit right there. Okay. So, but we say that God, you are everywhere, anywhere. Here's the thing. We got to break away. Our finite minds, we like to define things, right? We like to... It's good. We like to be able to explain everything, and we put it in a box, right? If we can explain it, we feel safe. We feel secure. How do you explain that? How do you explain the fact that some of our illustrious scientists are discovering things like A, space can be warped, time can be slowed down. Weird. But it's true. It's true. Anyway, here's my point. God is not just the God of the supernatural. He is the God of everything. He is the God of the natural and the supernatural. Okay? The Holy Spirit can be seen and can be, the Holy Spirit can be sensed in the natural and the supernatural. God is everywhere, and that is true in our lives as well, and that is true in the book of Acts, that the Holy Spirit is right across the board. Now, we highlight, when I was a kid growing up in Sunday school, the stories on the flannel graph that were told to me were those highlighted stories, right? What do you mean? Well, you mentioned it when you prayed, Phil. Who did you pray about? Who did you use as an example from the book of Acts? Stephen. Okay. So we talk about, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we talk about Pentecost, right? Powerful thing. That was powerful. We talk about, in Acts, is it 3 or 4, Peter and John go to the temple to do their daily prayers. They go there. They meet a lame man on the way, and he wants money. And Peter goes, I got no money, dude, but I'll give you what I have, which is, kingdom come. And he tells the guy, get up, walk, you're healed. And he was healed. Powerful. Yes. It was like, wow, that's amazing. Then you hit chapter 5, and it's like the church goes sideways a bit because you got Ananias and Sapphira who lie to the Holy Spirit about what they're giving as far as offering goes. And Peter, you know, starts with Ananias and goes, you're going to die before you leave this building. And then Sapphira, she comes in, where's my husband? Well, where he went, you're going too. That's the book of Acts, right? Holy Spirit present, Holy Spirit's present. And when you get into chapter 7, you hit the story of Stephen. Stephen, who is a man described in chapter 6 as full of the Holy Spirit, is arrested. Or I don't know if he's arrested, but he's accused, and they're going to kill him. Okay? His persecution is hitting full force. And Stephen, where's the Holy Spirit in there? Because Stephen doesn't get away from the stoning. And stoning's a miserable way to die. It's a terrible, putrid execution. It's terrible what happens there. And Stephen, was the Holy Spirit present? Did he get out of his stoning? No. What happened? He died. Stephen died. So where was the Holy Spirit? We go, Holy Spirit, did you hear? If you read Acts 7, the message is brilliant. And like what you pointed out, Phil, in your prayer, the glory of God shone around him as he died, right? Holy Spirit was present both there and at Pentecost. Here's an interesting fact of Acts. You go to Acts chapter 12. You can go there, Acts 12. Just go for the first 7, 8, 9 verses, something like there. And the flannel graph story, they usually skip the first couple verses and they go to the next one about Peter who gets arrested. And an angel of the Lord comes and he's released out of prison. And oh, look what happens. But you go, what happened in verse 1 and 2? You know what happened in 1 and 2? The apostle James was arrested, and King Herod Agrippa, he had James executed by the sword. That's the mention of James. Arrested, executed. And it pleased the people, so Herod then had Peter arrested. Peter gets thrown into jail. Angel comes and he's released. Holy Spirit in both incidents? Absolutely. Absolutely. Holy Spirit's there. See, here's the thing. It's easy to equate the Holy Spirit with Santa Claus, right? He's going to bring us good gifts. Right? And we look, and when it's good, praise God. Right? Oh, he came through. Did he come through with Stephen? Depends. If you're just looking at the perspective of this life, well, I guess not. Stephen died. He got bludgeoned to death with stones. But, see, we put so much, our world does, humanity does. We put so much value in this, flesh and blood, and we shouldn't. You know, did you see Gianna wriggling around there? Imagine if you did that. Some of you would be going out of here like, oh, can't move my back, right? Because you weren't supposed to squirm that way, right? We put so much and who Jesus came to save was not this flesh and blood. Who's in this flesh and blood? It's me. It's my soul. It's my spirit, right? That's who Jesus came to. That's who Jesus came for, right? That's who God loves, right? You go to Acts 16, Paul and Silas. Amazing story there. They get thrown into prison, right? And they're shackled. They're chained. Like it's brutal. Like prison isn't like our prisons today. They're shackled and they're being persecuted for their faith, right? That's why they're arrested, because they won't shut up about the thing, right? That's the amazing thing. Oh, you know why they got arrested? This is a real interesting story. They got arrested because as they were going along town, you know, in, well, I forget what town they were in, but they there was a girl, slave girl, who was had a spirit in her of she was a fortune teller, and she could foretell the future, and she could foretell stuff, right? And so she was following along, and she made her master tons of money, and it was good, it was lucrative. And she was going along, and as you know, Paul would be preaching or whatever, and she would yell out, you know, something, basically something about this guy speaking what God is saying, how to be saved, right? And it says that, you know, after a couple of days, Paul got sort of ticked off and tired of her, and I guess he discerned that there was a demon in her. And so he commands the demon to come out and leave. Well, in commanding the demon to come out and leave also meant bye-bye profit, right? No more money, right? No, and the master got all upset. There was a big riot in the town or whatever, and they mobbed and beat Paul and Silas. Like, it wasn't just, you know, we're taking you away. No, they beat them and then had them thrown in jail, and there they are in jail, and Luke records that at midnight, what are they doing? What would you do? You know, but they were singing hymns and praying. Were they scared? I'm sure they were scared. Were they probably, did they know what's going to happen? They probably thought they were going to die. And so who knows? You know, you can speculate all you want. Maybe they were singing because they figured if we're going out, might as well go out in a blaze of glory. And, right? And then, poof, right? Huge earthquake. The chains fall off. Doors open up. And all the prisoners are leaving. Like, it's not just them, it's all. And the prison guard is ready to commit Harry Carey, because he knows if he lets all the prisoners go, he's done, right? And so he figures he might as well just do it himself. And Paul and Silas go, no, wait, we're here, we're not going anywhere. And he falls on his knees and he goes, you know, he takes them out and he goes, and then he falls, and what must I do to be saved? And the story goes from there. And it's an amazing story how God came, and at the, you know, the 11th hour, you know, earthquake, and they're released. Go to Acts 24, 25 in that region. Float around there. Paul gets arrested in Jerusalem. Luke tells the story. He gets arrested in Jerusalem, and he's going to be tried there. And Paul goes, I'm a Roman citizen, and there, if you're a Roman citizen, you could have your hearing before Caesar. Not necessarily a brilliant thing to do in those days, because some of the Caesars or some of the emperors were sort of crazy. So Paul makes his way, because he said, I'm a Roman citizen, and he's asked to be seen by Caesar. He gets taken to Rome. Takes him a few months to get there, and it's quite the story, quite the journey they have. He gets to Rome, he's placed under house arrest, and he has to cover his own expenses. And he sits in prison, or he sits there, he sits under house arrest. Can't go anywhere. Story goes, you know what his release was? You're out, you're taken out. It's here, forget you. Done. Executed. That's his release. Was the Holy Spirit present there? Because he didn't get out of the prison. He didn't get out of it. Was the Holy Spirit present? How? How do you know? He didn't get released. You know how it was present? Paul was an optimistic guy, right? He was a guy who, he'd be the type of guy that tomorrow, if he was living here, and if tomorrow, if he hopped in his car, got on the 401, got down on the Gardiner Expressway in Toronto, his car broke down, he would be the guy who'd be hardly waiting for the tow truck driver, because he wanted to see who it was, maybe what conversation would come up. Opportunity here. He always saw opportunity, right? Read the story of the shipwreck. Opportunity, right? It was just, he was one of those guys. In prison, Paul wrote some of his most profound letters. that we now have in our New Testament. He wrote Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon, and I think, I'm pretty sure, I know some, they say they don't include 2 Timothy, but 2 Timothy, I think, too. I could be wrong. Regardless, he wrote a number of profound letters to churches. And what you read when you think of you're in prison, and you read some of those letters, and you go, wow, what an encouragement he was to churches. Wow, was the Holy Spirit ever using him powerfully? It was great. It was great. The Holy Spirit is present. And that's the thing in Acts. The Holy Spirit isn't just present when good things happen or when we get when a miracle happens. The Holy Spirit is present even when I'm going through tough times in my life, when it's hard. When it's hard and you don't know why. You don't know why, or it's not fair, and it's an injustice that's been done to you, the Holy Spirit is present, and we need to look, have eyes of the Spirit to be able to see, where are you moving, God? Where are you moving? Look, so what does that mean? That means regardless of what happens, let me put it in a situation. When I leave here today, if I, you know, at an intersection get T-boned and I'm laying on the road, and I'm severely injured and you come upon me, two things you do. Pray for me. Call 911. Okay? Why? Is the Holy Spirit not working in all situations, all circumstances? Why limit him? He's the limitless now. You just do what you have to do and expect the Holy Spirit to move. Expect that I might be healed, but at the same time, call, because the Holy Spirit may be working through the doctors, may be working through whatever. And even if I die, the Holy Spirit can work through my death. Okay? So you do both. And look for the Holy Spirit where he's moving, right? Where is he moving, right? Where? Rather than, I don't know, you know, sometimes the tough situations were what the early church was when they were told, wait. Because you can imagine, we're in a culture of everything's instant, right? You can get everything now. We get bummed out if it takes 10 seconds longer for the website to load, right? It's like, what's going on? We can't wait if our life depended on it. In the waiting, sometimes we go, where are you, God? He's present. Why? Well, because 10 years to God means, like, when you're infinite, time is irrelevant, right? But we don't know why. We don't understand all the complexities of why something takes so long or why something is something or something, right? We don't know. Sometimes, haven't you learned some of your best life lessons in the tough times? Haven't you? No? Uh-oh. It's coming. No, you say, yes, I have. Sometimes, not all the time. But sometimes you go through some tough times and you come out of it wiser, right? You come out of it. You've encountered the sustaining love of God in your life. Things, and God uses those things. He uses those to build us up, to encourage us. Now let's bring it right home. We're right now doing property development. We have a developer looking at buying some of our property, and we're going through this. And it's a bit of a struggle for us having to walk through this. It's hard for the board of directors as they walk through this. Is God present in that? Absolutely, He is. Absolutely. And you know what? Our financial woes here are zippo compared to what some of our brothers and sisters in other countries are going through. Literally. It would be like, if this is your biggest problem, nothing, right? But God is present here, even when whatever we do. He's present. He's with us. And what we have to do is have such confidence in God that we can lean into Him you've heard me use this passage time again from Proverbs, but it says, "You make your plans and God will direct your steps." It's that trust. It's that full trust in God, and I'll make my plans. I'll walk trusting that God's going to lead my steps either this way or that way. Trusting Him. And I believe He wants us to intelligently make decisions in our lives. Why? He gave us a brain. And I think it gives Him great pleasure when we use it. I think. Right? It would. April and I are thrilled when we see our kids make their own decisions. And it turns out well for them. Good. Way to go. It's great. God would too. Think things through. Trust God. Lean on the Holy Spirit. And watch what happens. Listen. And look. Because sometimes He'll do things that'll just blow your mind. Just blow your mind. Amazing. Is the Holy Spirit present in the persecuted church right now? Absolutely He is. Absolutely. I don't know how they go through it. I don't know how they do it. What I have to believe is that during those times, the Holy Spirit comes and empowers and equips, gives boldness, gives courage. You read that in Acts, and I believe that happens today. They get courage. They're built. They have strength from within. And amazing how the church is growing in those places. That's amazing. But that's the that's the thing about the Holy Spirit. It's like, give Him something tough. Blow it out of the water, right? Amazing. Amazing. We need to ask for our persecuted brothers and sisters, please pray for us. Help us, right? Help us. Pray for us. Guys, we are the Acts 29 church. You know there's only 28 chapters in Acts? We're chapter 29. The mission's still going. What would you want Luke to write about us? What would you want him to write? Right. What would he write? We don't know. We're the Acts 29. We're to carry on that mission. Fully relying on the Holy Spirit. Fully believing that the Spirit is this limitless now. Beautiful words. Present. Limitless. Love it. I love it. I love that I can't figure God out. Awesome. That takes a weight off my shoulders. Right? Just encounter Him. I love it that the fact that He gets great pleasure in giving us the kingdom. It gives Him pleasure. Because I know what that means. I get pleasure when I bake. I told the story about it. I like to bake, right? But I get pleasure out of it. April doesn't have to go. Come on, will you please? What do I got to do to get you to bake? No. Wakes up. Something's cooked. God's no different. He's no different. And if you haven't encountered the Holy Spirit, if you haven't been able to just have the Holy Spirit come and pour on you and love on you, you need to right now. So we're going to do that. We're going to pray for the Holy Spirit to just come and minister to us. All the guitars are gone, so I guess you're not playing, right? No. Okay, that's okay. Okay. So we're gonna pray. The Holy Spirit doesn't need music, right? I hope not. He doesn't need it. Likes it. Wanna use a quote from one of Paul's letters that he wrote when he was sitting in prison. And in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul was in prison when he wrote this. And, you know, you go, Paul, if you could pray for the church in Ephesus, what would you pray? And he prayed that they would know God's love more than anything, how wide and deep and long is his love, and that it'll sustain them and that it'll help them. Here he is in prison, and he's writing these words. And then he ends off with these words. And I want you to look at that picture. Look at that photograph. He ends off with these words at the end of Ephesians chapter 3. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely. He must have seen that picture when he wrote it. Eh? No. Infinitely more than we might ask or think. Because we can't out ask or out think him. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. And when Paul says through all generations, that's our generation. All glory to him. All glory to him in our generation. Because he does infinitely more than we could ask or think. Come, Holy Spirit. Come right now. When we say come, we're not saying the Spirit isn't here and we need you to come. We're saying come and minister. Come and minister on us. Maybe there's a healing that someone needs healing because you're in a desperate place. But let's stand, because we want to posture ourselves. Posture plays a big is very important, by the way. Right? It's very important in the sense of, do you want to receive? I know the posture April and Autumn take when they want the baking. It's not a, yeah, whatever. It's not that. Yeah. That's what it is. Just naturally. Yeah. It's that. Let's give it to us. It's that type of posture, right? It's a hungry posture. So Holy Spirit, we just thank you. Thank you, Spirit of Jesus, for a fulfilled promise that you said, Jesus, you would send us the Holy Spirit, and you did. And we're going to take those, if for some of us we have put walls up on our box, we have those walls because we don't want God to break out of that. Let's just lay those walls down now. Let's lay them down. Let's just lay them down. Now it's just flat. And let God stir in an unboundless area. Unboundless. And I want you to think right now of your life. If it's good or if it's tough. Maybe you've been diagnosed with something. I don't know. But the Holy Spirit is present in that situation right now. Right now, he's present. He is present. He does not bail on you when the going gets tough. He is there even more so. Welcome him there. Choose today to believe that the Holy Spirit is present in that situation. That impossible situation that maybe you see no hope for. No hope at all. The Spirit is present. The Spirit is present. Welcome him in there. Welcome him into your impossible situation. He is the God who stumps astrophysicists. They don't even have a clue on most of what they see. He is that God that you are inviting right now. Now, I'm just going to, we have a ministry team. They are trained in prayer. When I say trained, I mean what to do, what not to do, how to be polite and all that good stuff, and how not to cross boundaries. They all know that. I'm going to invite them to wander. And prayer team, as you sense the Spirit on someone, or maybe you just sense, and how do they sense? Well, it could be a spirit sense that they sense the Spirit on you. Or it could be that you are manifesting in some way. Could be just whatever. Pray for the Spirit to come and minister. Let the Spirit come and minister. Let the Spirit come and pour out their love. Pour out His love on them. Pour out His love and fill. We can never, I realized this week as I was pondering the Holy Spirit, there's no such thing as getting too much. I understand why Paul said be continuously filled, because there's joy in just having a continuous stream of the Spirit pouring in on us. If you could just imagine standing under a waterfall and you're just drinking it in. You're just drinking it in. Just drink in the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come right now. And for some of you, you've never really encountered the Holy Spirit. You've never encountered that power, that love of God. And sometimes that could be because something's happened in your life or whatever, growing up, and it's just something hasn't been formed or developed. Something has been just messed up, and you can't break past it. You can't break past it. And this is where today we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and just to walk right through that. The Holy Spirit, you will find, you don't have to fear the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is compared to a dove, and doves are so gentle. They're so gentle. They're so gentle. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, and it's that same Spirit where Jesus said, it gives my Father so much pleasure to give you the kingdom. It gives my Father a thrill to give His love out to you. Yes, you give good gifts to your kids. How much more will my Father give you the Holy Spirit? Some of you today, you've never received, you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. So as the prayer team goes around, just pray for the Holy Spirit to come and baptize somebody. Let the Holy Spirit do it. We don't have to do it. It's the Holy Spirit that baptizes, not us. So if I could just release the prayer team. If you're on the prayer team, I've got to get you just to wander. The Holy Spirit will guide you. He will. He'll guide you, by the way. Prayer team. He will. Now, I think we have a...